This is East Carolina offensive coordinator Donnie Kirkpatrick. We are talking one of my favorite things, Pirate football, on the Sports Objective.
Welcome into the Sports Objective, a very special night, as always, and we're going to have a roundtable tonight. If you are those watching or listening live, then you can actually call in tonight. We'll talk, give the phone number in just a little bit. But first, let's bring in Kyle from LaGrange Barber. What's up, dude?
How can it always be special every night?
Because we're special, man.
Well, you speak for yourself. What's going on, guys? It's an interesting time of year here. Ain't nothing going on with Major League Baseball, but there's some interesting things. There is some interesting things to talk about in regards to East Carolina, despite, you know, no sports going on.
No doubt. Bubba Rosenbaum on the road, back from visiting Matt Semenza. How are you?
Doing well. To the Northeast, had the opportunity to attend East Cubs game on Friday night. Red Sox A's on Saturday afternoon, and then do some other things as well. Took in a doubleheader.
You know, we were talking about how great Bubba's cell phone connection was, and as soon as the show was going to start.
It has to do it. Matt Semenza, what's up, man?
Maddie, what's up, guys? Hope all is well. Kind of chime in for Bubba a little bit there. He, since his phone was cutting out, but yeah, Bubba turned into a northerner for a few days. He, we went to Manhattan. We took in the Freedom Tower.
That's awesome. I saw those pictures.
Went up to the Bronx, took in the Yankees game, and then went to Boston, took in Fenway, and then hit several schools along the way. We took in Boston College, Yale, Harvard, action-packed weekend. So, man, it's a great time.
Absolutely. And we just lost Bubba there. The great service. Thanks for everybody tuning in tonight. Is, by the way, and just a little bit, you can call in for the very first time ever on the Sports Objective live calls at 252-290-0375. And we'll get those.
You know, that legitimately may have been the first time there had ever been a Bubba on the campus of Yale or Harvard.
That would be a great – hey, we need to find that out. Matt, can you find that out if there's ever been a Bubba to attend Harvard or Yale?
I'll certainly check. I mean, that's I think there might be some validity to that one, unless Bubba Watson was on the scene playing golf anywhere local. But, yeah, you might be right, Kyle.
Bubba, you might be the first person ever in the history of Harvard or Yale to have be on campus and be a Bubba on campus. So,
and he still don't know.
We don't know. But we're going to be talking about tonight. One of the topics, guys, we're going to talk about, all four of us are very passionate about, is, of course, the play-by-play voice. Who will be the next voice? You're not going to replace Jeff Charles. You don't replace a legend, as we said. Unfortunately, we lost Jeff back in February, but it's coming down to the nitty gritty. So we'll talk about that, and we can talk generically. There's five candidates left. We do know that. And I don't know when the guys, I don't know when, maybe Kyle, you may know, but when they're going to make the announcement, but they do have a big party on Thursday night for the Pirate Sports Radio Network.
I don't think they're going to be done with the interview by then. I hear there's going to be an interview every day this week. Now, I don't know if I know there's five finalists, and I heard there's interviews all week. So I was assuming that was one every day. I guess there's going to be one day where there's more than one. But I don't think we'll know Thursday night. My guess would be early next week.
Craig says I look like a helicopter pilot. Yep, I'm the pilot of the of the show. It's going to be an interesting topic because we'll see that. Hey, kids. I know. Thank you, Craig. 252-290-0375. And if you want to, a new wrinkle to the show, if you will, is we're taking phone calls live, and something we'll be doing that is going to be great during football season. I can't wait for people to call in and talk to Kyle or Matt or whoever they want to talk to.
That punk ass that always has a problem with me during the why don't he call in? What you bet we won't hear from him?
He won't call in now. No, I seriously doubt that. And Matt, Brandon says, "What's up, guys? Haven't heard from Matt in a long time."
Brandon, I took my little summer hiatus.
Brandon, why don't you call in? Why don't you call in? You can ask Matt questions down there. Give the number, Dave.
Let's go ahead and take calls. 252-290-0375. 252-290-0375. And we have, I know we had someone who gave a generous donation to the show to help out with the cost of phone calls. So we appreciate that private donation. They wanted to remain anonymous, so we appreciate any help you can do. In fact, there are a lot of people that want to be sponsors. So let's see here if we can get phone calls, people calling in. So we'll do that here in just a second.
Hey, if anybody wants to contribute to the podcast, Dave, this is something, you know, we've never done this, and a lot of people do this. You know, it costs money to do these podcasts. It ain't free. It's a labor of love. And
all right, here, guys.
Okay. Well, will we have a caller, or you want me to finish this thought first, Dave? You might want me to let me finish this thought first.
Okay.
But it's a labor of love, and mm-hmm. you know, particularly Dave and Bubba, put a lot of money and time into this, and so if anybody ever wants to donate to the podcast, Dave, what is your PayPal account?
I believe it's Richmond David. I'll have to look at that. I know for Venmo that, but we will have to check out the.
Yeah, we need to get some kind of official way to donate to the podcast. If you want to support it, keep it going. You know, we take sponsorships. Obviously, we try to sell sponsorships, but yeah, if anybody ever wants to give to the podcast to keep it going, we are more than happy to take your money. All right, go ahead, Dave.
All right, we got. Let's see. We got some issues here. I'll have to keep working on it. I'll see if I can. I thought we had everything.
Technical issues.
I thought we had it all worked out here before.
This is the inaugural show, so there might be some hiccups. But, I mean, to your guys' point, it's going to be pretty awesome during football season, I think. In particular, the fifth quarter show, you know, that we typically do on Sunday nights. It's going to be very interesting to get some live calls in.
No doubt it's going to be a lot of fun, especially when I'll enjoy it more when we have pirate victories, no doubt, than the losses. So
most of the time, yeah, but there are times like with the A&T game, you know, hopefully you don't experience a loss like that. I'm not saying that, don't get me wrong, I don't want to lose to Gardner Webb, but those kinds of shows are almost therapeutic.
Oh my god,
you need them.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll try to see if we can figure out what's going on with our issue with the phone. And I thought I had it worked out, but we'll, by the way, let's see. Sarah Sanders says, shout out to Eastern North Carolina umpire Macon Hammond, worked the plate at the future All-Star game Saturday and working the home run derby tonight. I did not know that. Thank you, Sarah, for letting us know that. Appreciate you very much. So anyway, we're having some feedback, so we'll keep working on that. I know people trying to call in. We'll try to get to it if I can figure it out. How about that? Brandon wants to know, Kyle Wade and call in after East Carolina upsets Michigan week one. Or he says that. How about that?
What did he ask again?
No, he says he said, Kyle, I'll wait and call in after East Carolina upsets Michigan week one.
Okay, well, you know what?
If that happens.
If that happens, my friend, we'll let you co-host the show. If East Carolina upsets Michigan, Brandon Forbush will be a co-host for one episode of the Sports Objective.
Wow, how about that?
I'm assuming everybody will be okay. I'm assuming everybody will be okay with that if we upset Michigan.
Be perfectly happy. Listen, I'm just going serious for a minute on this Michigan game. What I'm really looking for is just a competitive game. I mean, if we can get this thing into the fourth quarter – where it's, you know, where it's competitive and, you know, maybe within two scores where you might have a chance to make it interesting. That's really what I'm looking for. That might seem like a defeatist attitude, but I wouldn't have said that last year, but I try to be realistic. This is a young team. There's a lot of new faces. We have a first-time quarterback. We're going to have a new starting running back, lots of new receivers, lots of new O-linemen, lots of new faces on D. It's going to take some time. So my expectations, you know, I'm not expecting to win that game, but I'm hoping that we can get it into the fourth quarter where it's competitive.
Do you turn Mason loose in that game and say, Mason, who cares? It's Michigan. You go out there and just play your ass off. If you think the pass is there, take it. You take chances and tell them to just go ahead and just turn him loose. Because, you know, let him make the mistakes against Michigan because you're probably going to lose anyway, kind of deal. Or and then if he has a perfect game, maybe you pull off. That's what it's going to take to beat Michigan. Or are you conservative with Mason against Michigan and try to make sure he doesn't lose his confidence against such a good defense? And it's his first game. Rely more on the running game and the defense and maybe take deep shots with him because that's what he's good at.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question. My thing with Mason early, especially in this game, is give him high percentage throws. Typically, you know, in a quarterback's first start, you know, you want to give him some high percentage throws where he only has to make one read. So simple plays like wide receiver screens.
But I would say
maybe
flares
to run. This way, you know, what you do is here's the thing. When you complete high percentage passes, number one, he gets his confidence, he gets in a rhythm, but the clock runs too. It's almost as good as a run play. So you mix in the short passing game, high percentage throws, and then you sprinkle in the running game because you really want to try to work the clock a little bit if you're Mike Houston. I think he's really good at that. But I don't want to give him too much to answer your question. Like, I don't want him having to look to his third read. Give him some simple stuff where he can just simplify it and go.
Yeah, the interesting thing about him, you know, I don't know how he is with the screen game, but I know his strength is throwing the deep ball. So what's funny is what may be a more comfortable throw for him might not be a high percentage throw. He's got a rocket. That's kind of his strength. So I don't know how his accuracy is, but what you may see is a lot of run, go deep, run, go deep. I wouldn't be surprised if you see a lot of that.
Oh, no doubt about it, man. Hopefully we can. That'd be great to talk about if it's a tight game or a win, man. We're trying to work on the phone calls, by the way, folks. We got a little bit of feedback, so I'm trying to work it out. So bear with us, and we'll try to get that tonight if possible. Guys, we had a question, by the way. Robert Matthews, Craig, Robert, Brandon, Sarah, all joining in tonight. If you have a question or on Facebook, Chuck joining us as well. Let me get back to that in a second. Let's go to Robert. He says, any news on a replacement for the voice? So Robert, let's go ahead and do that conversation, guys, because I know there's a lot of people in Pirate Nation that are dying to know. And here's what we know. We know there's five candidates. So they've narrowed it down to the five finalists. I think there's going to be maybe an interview every day. They're bringing the finalists on campus. We know that there's a committee.
One interview today.
Yep.
And we know the five candidates. We just can't. Yeah. Ha ha. We know you don't know. We don't mean it like that, but we know the five candidates are. We just shouldn't say them on air. Yeah. At this time. I know who I wanted to have the job, and I'm not saying if he's a candidate or not, but I'd already said it on the air, and that was Chris Haymire. I had made that clear in the past. I'm not saying if he's a candidate or not a candidate, but I've wanted Chris Haymire here, you know, really since before Jeff passed. I wish there was a way he could have been here working underneath Jeff. You know, I know he was the head guy at Campbell, has been for the last several years, calling football and basketball. Did a good job here calling baseball. Was a sportscaster at WCTI. Called some Kinston Indian baseball. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he was the host of the Fifth Quarter Call-In Show.
That sounds
right. 2007 and 2008. So he's somebody who knows Pirate Nation, and I'd love to see him with a job. And again, I'm not saying if he's a candidate or not, but that's something I stated right after Jeff passed. So I'm on record saying that a long time ago. So I feel comfortable discussing him. Dave, I don't know if you feel comfortable discussing any of the candidates.
We said, I know that Robert says he wished Corey Glore was not a candidate. And I know Robert says, I wish Glore would come back. But he's right. He's happy in Tulane. And he, no surprise there. And we know that one of our friends, Chris Edwards for Duke Baseball, he's a guy that we think a lot of, who's come on the show numerous times to talk about Duke baseball. So we appreciate him. He's a Pirate. I believe off the top of my head, guys, Bubba's a numbers guy, but I believe he graduated. It was during Holland's early time. I would say like something like 2006. I hope I'm not wrong on that. But anyway, let's see.
Yeah, I know you spoke with Chris Edwards in the past, that you were big on him.
Yeah, he's another one. He's another one that's a Pirate.
Duke's baseball play-by-play, and he's an East Carolina graduate. So, again, somebody that we had talked about for the job already. We're not saying if he's a candidate or not a candidate, but we had talked about him in the past, and he's been on the show numerous times. So we feel comfortable discussing him. The other three candidates I would not feel comfortable discussing because we have not mentioned them previously.
Right. So we can do that. We can, we'll just tell you that that's what's going on. I know there's a party on Thursday night. I don't think they'll have the voice. I don't know this 100%, but my guess is if they're going to do one a day, that they, being five candidates, and I can do the math, that would mean they would still have them, unless they're doing, like Kyle said early on, by Friday. But who knows? The main thing is, I will say this, guys. I would like to see I am happy. What I was going to say is that they're taking this very serious, which they should, but they didn't rush it.
They are, Dave, and I agree with you 100%, but at the same time, don't overthink it. That's one thing that I would really stress to the committee, not that they're asking my opinion or care about my opinion, but I'm going to give it. Sometimes I think we have a habit of overthinking things. And sometimes the answer is real simple. The hire is obvious. You don't have to overthink it.
Right. So I don't know.
I just hope whoever it is. Sorry, Dave, I had a little.
No, you're fine.
I just hope whoever it is there, I hope it's the type of personality that brings a lot of passion and excitement, not right. The monotone type voices you can hear, but somebody who. My big thing is it's got to be somebody who truly loves East Carolina, because if they don't, we're going to see right through them.
A great point, Matt.
And somebody who brings excitement. You know, I just prefer the types of guys that, you know, they're excitable. You know, they bring a passion to it. And, you know, hopefully we get the right guy.
Well, one thing I will say, too, guys, is you make a great point. That's a nice segue for me, Matt. We don't need a guy that's a stepping stone, and maybe the administration does it, but we need a guy. If you're going to replace a legend and they only last a year or two, that's embarrassing. So I hope that they will keep that in mind. I'm glad they're taking it serious. They're not rushing it, out of respect to Jeff and all that. You don't replace a legend, as Kyle said way back in February, which is spot on. My personal opinion would be, don't trust the fact that let me make a point in this. And I know that the administration doesn't know this, okay? But I will just say this. Let's make sure it's the right fit for East Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Don't trust the names of a conference that's south of us, if you know what I mean. Where, just because they're – like we had – hey, Kyle, hey, Matt, do you remember when they fired Logan and they go, oh, we've got this guy from the SEC. He's a coach. He's a defensive coordinator from Florida. Do you remember how well that worked out?
Yeah. So I agree with you. Just because they come from the SEC or any Power 5 conference for that matter, but we'll particularly say the SEC, don't mean they're the best person for the job or the best fit.
Right.
You got to remember, and Matt made a tremendous point. If they don't love East Carolina, we will see right through them. And how can you love East Carolina already unless you have some kind of pre-knowledge, predisposal,
right,
appreciation of it? So I don't think that always has to be the case, but I think when replacing Jeff Charles, it needs to be. You need somebody that truly has a passion already for the Pirates, and, you know, and I think that's a good place to leave it.
No question. And let's go to football questions here, because we wanted to talk about that. The play-by-play voice is very important to us, but that was not the whole intent of the show. We were going to have fun, and we're trying to work out the call situation. Maybe we can get that making it there. Let's see. I had a couple here that they're all – there we go. Chuck, thank you so much, Chuck, one of our regulars. Chuck says, will they rotate QBs in the Michigan game? I'll start first. I don't see that happening, but hey, you never know. I mean, I'm not the coach of the Pirates. I'm not Donnie K, but I don't see them rotating.
I hope not. If that's the case, that probably means either somebody didn't pull away during fall, or most likely Mason's having a bad game. So I think if you see that, it means either fall practice didn't go like we thought it was, right, or Mason has gotten rattled. So I hope not.
Yeah, I mean, what you look for in that situation is you just want to be decisive. And, you know, you have all summer, you know, you have your spring, you have all fall camp to kind of figure that out and practice. And I think as a coach, once you make that decision, you have to be decisive. And, right, you know, whoever it is, I think you're going to have some growing pains. The funny thing is, even though Mason Garcia is probably the long-term guy, you're probably going to have more growing pains with him.
Right.
Just because he's a little younger, but he's had his time in the program. He should know the offense inside and out. But I think you will have some growing pains with him. But whoever it is, you know, I expect it to be Mason. I'm not really – I know there's a lot of talk right now about Alex Flynn, but I think Mason is the future of the program, and I think that's who you're going to see.
I think Mason, I agree, you know, going to the Manny Passon Academy is going to help him a lot.
Thank God for Holton for that, right?
Right. No, yeah, Holton had a big hand, I'm sure, in getting him there, being he took part in it last year. And so that's that should help Mason. And, you know, I went back and watched a little bit of an interview with Houston at the Ladies Clinic from earlier this month, or late June, I guess it was. And he seems confident, really. And I don't know if it's because he has to be, because they're going into Michigan, and if you don't even if it's false bravado, even if you're bullshitting your team, if you don't act like you're 100% confident in your team, then they're going to get destroyed at Michigan. So I don't know if he almost has to be overly,
right,
confident at this point, or if it's genuine, because he seems like he's very confident to me. Not about beating Michigan, but just in general about the football team.
Right, let's see if we can get I've still got feedback, so I can't I'm trying really hard, guys. We'll keep see if we can work on that. We'll try on the phone calls. Sorry about that, guys.
Some of the mix, so your audio is mixed in with the call.
Yeah, I got to figure it out. I thought I had it figured out earlier with Bubba, and I tested earlier, but for some reason I don't know what's going on. We'll figure it out. It's something I think with you guys being, having you guys and me, and but we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Well, while you're figuring that out, Dave, I think to Kyle's point, you do sense a quiet confidence from the coaching staff when you hear them talk. And you can really hear it when Mike Houston does recent interviews.
Right.
He almost has an air about him, like, I know something you don't know.
Right.
And that's just one thing I've observed when I hear him this off season. It's almost like, we have more than you know or think that we have.
Right.
We're going to surprise a lot of people. And again, I've said this many times over the last few months, but I really think the key for this team is, you know, if you can come out of the first three, 2-1, you're set up for a tremendous year.
Oh my God. Yeah.
If you're 2-1, you're set up for a tremendous year. I'm going to be honest with you, Matt. And I'm going to get killed by Pirate Nation for saying this. If we come out of the first three, 1-2, I'll be satisfied. If we beat App or Marshall, I'll be satisfied because my expectations are 6-6. So if we go 2-1 in those first three, we are succeeding my expectations, and I'll be thrilled. But honestly, my expectations for the first – I expect to be 2-2 after Gardner-Webb. My expectations are to go 1-2 the first 3 weeks, and anything less than that to me is disappointing. Anything better than that would be a huge achievement.
I could even argue, and I agree with you, Kyle, 1,000%. I could even see it being 4-1 after the first five games. Easily, because the Michigan game, I don't feel very confident. I do think that
I'm going to say this. With that young of a with a quarterback who essentially has never started the game. I know the Navy game, but with all the young players we have, even if we're really good, a 4-1 start, I just don't see it. I don't see how in the world we would run through App, Marshall, Gardner-Webb, Rice, all four in a row without stubbing our toes somewhere along the way. I mean, it's just, honestly, Marshall's going to be really good.
It's App, a home game.
App, Phil Steele is big on App. I love Phil Steele, and I believe he's.
I just don't see it.
I don't either. And I believe he is the foremost expert, I believe, in college football. But I look at what they have coming back. They have no more coming back than we do. And they only had 4 FBS wins last year. They were 6-6 and 2 wins over FCS opponents.
Correct.
And, but it's still a tough game. It's still in Boone. And they hadn't lost very many games in Boone over the last 10 years. So, and then Gardner-Webb last year almost, they lost all three of their FBS opponents, but they almost beat all three of them. Check the scores on all three. They played 3 FBS games. All three were close. They got everybody back, and I'm telling you right now, don't be surprised in week one if they don't give Appalachian. They play App week one, so they're already going to have an FBS opponent under their belt when they play us. So I don't think Gardner-Webb's as big of a pushover as people think they are. And then Rice, they got from the transfer portal West Virginia's old quarterback. Mac, do you know who I'm talking about?
I do. He's been at, like, I want to say, like, 4 different schools. He's very talented. He's moved around a lot. Can't recall his name off the top of my head, but I'm sure he's going to have a pretty good year there at Rice. And
is that JT Daniels?
Yep,
believe it is. Yep, that's a good call, Dave. But I'll be very honest. I don't have a lot of respect for Rice's program. If that's a game for me, now, hey, we have a history of, we'll occasionally drop games like that, but my big thing is that is when I look at Rice,
must win.
That is a must win. That is a must win.
Well, when you come down and
if you're going to be a bowl team, I'm not sure we've ever won at Rice. Somebody check that, but I do not remember us winning a game at Rice. We beat Rice and Greenville several times, but I do not remember us ever winning a game at Rice.
Yeah, and you guys know I'm really hard on Charlotte. I put Rice in the same category. Honestly, I was appalled that they were allowed into this conference. They don't bring anything. Honestly, they really don't. Their fan base is horrendous.
There'll be like 10 people there, right, at that game.
It's gonna be reminiscent of, UAB 20 years ago, or going when we used to go down and play Tulane in the Superdome, and there were like 100 people there. And it's just, I just don't see what they bring to the conference. I don't think they bring in a market. They don't have a fan base. So that's just not to sound like a broken record, but the idea that we're in the first conference is Rice makes me sick, honestly.
Well, we've done it before. So that doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me as bad as Charlotte, because we've never been in a football conference. We've never been in a football conference before with Charlotte, and we never should be. And, I understand Gilbert's point about trying to make it a rivalry from a regional standpoint, and I believe it will be in basketball and baseball. Honestly, I love being in the same conference as Charlotte in basketball and baseball, just not football. could we have App as football only in the American and in Charlotte for the other sports? I have no interest in Matt. I know you feel even more passionate about it than I do.
Yeah, just a few of these ads. You know, the American Conference has really been promoting the new members lately on social media. You've probably seen a lot of those.
Right. They featured us as one of their new regional rivalries.
Yeah, I mean, it really, in my mind, it just reeks of desperation. Like, you're just trying to manufacture something that, at least at this point, it's not there. Hey, hopefully, I hope to be proven wrong. I hope it all works out. This turns out to be a great conference, and, you know, we can thrive here. But I'll stay on record and be very consistent about the fact that I do not like the direction they went. I'm not a believer in just adding a rice because they are in a specific market, even though they have no fan base.
Oh, you know, and academics. Yeah. Because that's important.
Hey, by the way, Bubba chimes in. 2-2 is 0-2 at Rice. There you go. So you're correct, Kyle.
So, we only played twice at Rice. Oh, they were both, okay, once cost us the Eastern Division.
Yep.
Everybody remembers that game. And the other one, they absolutely blew us out. Ruff's first year.
That was one of the low points of ECU football. That day we got blown out at Rice. That was a very low point. I remember that they had actually had a pretty good team that year.
62-38 in 2010.
Yep. Good Lord.
And we lost 18-17 Skip Holtz era 2006.
It cost us the East Division.
Look, Craig says Bubba got to the library for that free Wi-Fi in record time. So, I love you, Craig, man. Oh my goodness, yeah. So, when it comes to that, but what I was saying, guys, I mean, the thing that is crazy is that you can make an argument for. I don't see any way that we beat Michigan, but then the other four games, you could argue that you could go 2-2 during that time. You could go, you could be 3-2 during that time. You could be 4-1.
Yeah, you could be a lot of different things. I think 3-2, you know, 4-1 would be awesome. But I think 3-2 would be a very good start, honestly. I think if you're 3-2, it sets you up nicely to win 6 or 7 games, maybe even 8.
And the bowl win, you get 9.
Yeah, I mean, my expectations this year are 6-6, and I know a lot of people know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We had a little bit of lag. Chuck says 7-5 military bowl, guys.
Well, there you go. Since Chuck said it, I'd be happy with it.
Playing Boston College for Matt since Matt
left. I'd be happy with it.
And blow them out.
Somebody, Yahoo, Sporting News put out their bowl projections, and they had us playing Syracuse in the military bowl.
Oh, that would be cool.
For what that's worth, which ain't a damn thing. I look at, you know, and some Pirate fans disagree because they think the new conference is weak. I actually think in terms of football, but that's what's so irritating about it is people think Rice is going to be terrible and they're really not going to be. And then people look at Florida Atlantic and go, well, you know, they're going to suck. Well, they've recruited really well. And now they got a real football coach with Tom Herman. So, I mean, it's,
and yeah, Navy.
Yeah, Navy's always a pain in the ass. And there's so many games on the schedule that are tougher than I think people want to give credit for. But it's just not, it's still just not appealing. I'm talking about two different subjects here. But my expectations for as young as we are is to go 6-6. And anything above that will be a plus to me. If we win 8 games this year, I would be considered a huge success.
No doubt. And we'll have, you know, it's one of those things we could actually, like you said, Kyle, I think we're definitely a bowl team. It's a matter of do we, like Matt, you made the great point. I remember the 99 team that goes down to UAB and you're like, how in the heck in November of 99 do we lose that game? But there's so many games when you stump your toes. So we got to, what? Oh, never mind. I'm looking at some people. They're not listening. I would just say this. We do a show. Listen to the show because when you pay attention to half the time, then you don't know what's going on. So I'll just say that to the folks that are chiming in on our chat. So that's what I'll say.
What are you talking about?
Well, Elliot thinks. Listen, here it is. I'll put it up. I didn't want to get Kyle upset. Kyle, check your facts before you open your mouth. We played at Rice in 2006 and lost 17-18. Yes, we said that. That's what I'm trying to tell you, Elliot.
Yeah, dude, I don't
know. Look at this. We put this up on the screen. So pay attention. So look at that. That's from Bubba, 18-17, 2006. But what Kyle was alluding to was when we got blown out 62-38 in 2010.
Exactly.
So pay attention. We love you. Thank you for coming, listening, viewing. But pay attention to the show. That's why we're doing the show, is to have a conversation. And he did not say anything about a blowout in 2006.
Correct.
Chuck says, can y'all talk about better out-of-conference scheduling in football?
Well, the schedule we have right now going forward through 2028. See, we're pretty full through 2028. I don't know if you guys know that or not.
Yep.
But we're pretty full through 2028. I'll give him credit where credit's due. Confer, you know, he got us Wake Forest. He got the NC State series extended. He got us Boise State. No, actually Terry Holland did that BYU deal. He got us Boise State. So he did some decent things scheduling. Now, don't get me wrong. I'd rather have John Gilbert than Jeff Coffer any day. I want to make that clear.
And the Adidas deal, too, was good.
Yeah. I'd rather have John Gilbert than Coffer any day. But our schedule, I think, is all right through 2028. I don't have a problem with it in out of conference. You know, I think this year's non-conference schedule is fine. Michigan, I mean, that's a huge national power. You know, App State, Marshall Regional Appeal, and Gardner-Webb. I don't mind playing one of the FCS. The problem is, what are we doing in the future? And Gilbert has talked about NC State and UNC and other so-called Power 5 schools not wanting to play us anymore. And he doesn't seem very aggressive about trying to make that change. And, you know, maybe he's not saying things outwardly, but he's doing things behind the scenes. I don't know. But, you know, Appalachian State, Marshall are one thing. Those are appealing rivalry games. We got a long history with Marshall. App State is a game that's going to become a rivalry, as it will be played on a regular basis. I expect a long-term series with that to be extended soon. But we in the future, you know, and maybe one thing that could change some of these so-called Power 5 schools' minds, if we can go win, you know, certainly 2024, one of the so-called Group of Five schools is going to be making the playoffs every year.
Yep.
And when the playoffs expand, you got your six highest-rated conference champions make the playoffs every year. There's only five power leagues, potentially soon to be four. So, East Carolina goes and wins the American a couple times, and we're in the playoffs a couple of years, and people might laugh at that, but it's very possible. All we have to do is win the American. And we can make the playoffs starting in 24. And then all of a sudden, some of these NC States and UNCs may want to play you because they have to, because now we're starting to take recruits from them.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of good points there. I mean, Chuck, I think big picture standpoint, we are going to have to find a way at some point. And I'm not saying it's easy. And, you know, certainly a big challenge, but we are going to have to find a way in the future to get P5 teams to want to come to Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium. You know, the Virginia Techs of the world, they don't want to come here anymore. The UNCs don't want to come here anymore. It's a huge challenge for us. I don't know how you get that done. We're going to have to try to find some leverage. But to Kyle's point, if you win, you know, if you build it, they will come. If we can put together some great seasons, win some bowl games, some more bowl games, we just won one, and potentially have a chance to get into that playoff mix, now maybe you have some more leverage to get a team in there. But it's going to be a challenge. It's an uphill battle.
No question. I think that, you know, back in the day, We were, as Pirate fans, we were like, there's no way in the world we're going to do a 2-for-1, but I think that's what you're going to have to do.
Oh, yeah. You definitely would do a 2-for-1 in this climate. Yes. Yeah. Maybe not with you or in, I wouldn't do it with UNC or NC State out of purpose. I would
rather. Talking about like SEC schools or Big Ten.
Yeah. I would rather just play UNC or NC State in Charlotte and not even play it in Greenville or Raleigh or Chapel Hill rather than to do a 2-for-1. We'll just play them on a neutral site from now on. That's fine with me. But look, if UNC or NC State don't want to ever come to Greenville again, fine. We won't go to Chapel Hill or Raleigh again. We'll play you in Charlotte. We'll meet you on a neutral site, and we'll play you anytime you want to.
Charlotte Motor Speedway is one of my ideas for NC State, I think.
But the in terms of other school, I would say also, as far as not Power 5, but I think we need to get a long-term deal with App, and I think that's something that it's probably in the works. I think that is a rivalry that's going to be budding, and I think the fans will enjoy that game. I think the Marshall series is good. I think that's something we can get scheduled.
Love the Marshall.
Yes. Yeah. So you should extend that.
West Virginia.
Well, that's a Power 5 if they want to do it.
I know that.
I'm talking about Group of Five. You can't just schedule any Group of Five school. It's got to be one that's going to have interest. We just played Coastal in a bowl. I don't know if our fans would want to see that or not. A home and home with them, I don't know. Southern Miss, yes, there you go. Even though they're not in the area, that's one the fans would respect. You see Southern Miss on the schedule. You particularly play it early season. You're going to get a turnout. You're going to get a good turnout for that game. I would say a name brand from out west, like we already have Boise, but I think a Colorado State or an Air Force, particularly an Air Force would probably draw really well with Seymour Johnson Air Force Base in Goldsboro. So you can be clever with your non-conference scheduling rather than just scheduling somebody because they're close by and in a Group of Five conference.
Right. And Elliot says, how about playing Duke? As I responded to Elliot, they have no interest in playing us. North Carolina, basically the only team on Tobacco Road ACC schools that will play us is Wake Forest, so we got to give them credit. Here's another one Sarah says that I was going to mention to you guys, but I'll give Sarah credit. I want to play Liberty for sure.
Well, congratulations. We have that signed. Yeah. We are playing Liberty in a home and home. So congratulations to Sarah and Dave. That's already been taken care of.
I know. I'm just saying that I like that. I know that. My point is that that's the kind of game that we need, especially Liberty should be in a – that's another school maybe Semenza will disagree with me on, but that school has a lot of money, and they need to be in our conference.
I think they're going to make themselves a nuisance with the money they have. You know, they lose what's-his-face to Auburn.
Hugh Freeze
to Auburn, and they hired Jamie Chadwell from Coastal. Liberty's got a lot of money, and now they're in Conference USA. So if they go win Conference USA every year, they're going to be competing for that playoff spot along with us and whoever wins the American. So if Liberty goes and has 10, 11, 12 wins seasons and wins Conference USA on a regular basis, and then they're making the frigging playoff in this new format, either the American or the Sun Belt is going to have to invite them. So I got a feeling their stay in Conference USA will be very short.
Yeah, that's a great call by Sarah. I agree. I think Liberty definitely has some appeal. And we all know it's to win in this era of football, you have to have money. And they definitely have money.
And they have an indoor practice facility.
The other one, I'd personally like to see us try to work out maybe a home and home, would be UConn. I have no problem
with
UConn. Back on the schedule. I think that makes sense in a lot of different ways. And we do have some history there. And UConn, you know, hey, even though they haven't been good in football, they do bring a national brand.
And they did go to a bowl last year. Somehow.
Somehow. It's one of the best, Jim Moore Jr., one of the best coaching jobs I've seen in recent
memory.
And if
you look at it on paper, you still don't know how they went to a bowl. If you look at their statistics, it's unbelievable.
It is. You know, but they, you know, to my point, they do bring the national brand because of basketball, obviously. But, you know, it's a team that does have some name recognition. So, you know, I'd like to see that series continued. And I think that's one we could get done.
Matt also lives in Connecticut.
And that too. I'm a little biased on that one. You know, it gives me a chance to see the Pirates. But I think that's a realistic one. Like, some of these you look
at.
Oh,
sure,
like,
sure. It's definitely realistic. But, I mean, I don't know. Here's why I'm going to disagree with you that in a little bit, Matt. I don't know that our fans give two craps about playing UConn. We don't recruit the Northeast much at all anymore.
We wouldn't have Semenza if we hadn't done that before, that pipeline.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm just saying we don't. So right. I really don't know. I don't see the benefit. I wouldn't have a problem with it because I can't stand UConn. So I like beating them. Even when they're terrible, I always love beating them because I just can't stand the school. I picture them as a UNC, you know, a blue blood, nose stuck up in the air type place. I hate them. So I like playing them from that standpoint because I don't like them and I like beating them. So I wouldn't have a problem with it. That would be an interesting poll for Pirate Nation. Would you like to see us schedule a non-conference series with UConn and see? I'd be interested to see if the A's or Nays would have that. And I think that would be a good gauge on whether we should do the series or not. That's a really good question, actually.
No question. And not only that, but if you look at the, we're talking about the ACC schools and Matt, by the way, playing like a South Carolina, there's a lot of regional schools. I know that Elliot said it would be awesome if we played Clemson, but Clemson's not coming to Dowdy-Ficklin, unfortunately.
No, I'm assuming he means a bye game.
Yeah.
And the thing about doing a bye game with Clemson and the reason we really can't do it with any ACC school is because then UNC or NC State can point and go, well, if they're going to do a bye game in Clemson, why can't they do a bye game with us? And I realize on the field it ain't the same thing, but you can't do it with them and then try to get UNC or NC State or Syracuse, for that matter, to play you home and home. So you got to be careful who you do that kind of thing with. Michigan's a good one, I would say.
Alabama.
I don't like games where I don't feel like we have no chance. I really don't. And I wouldn't normally put Michigan in that stance, but they're really good and we're really young. Alabama's the one you don't have a chance in. I would like Notre Dame. I'd love that. I'd love to go to Notre Dame because, you know, I feel like Notre Dame's a place that would be a cool place to go. It would be a cool bye game, and it's a game I think we could win.
What about Penn State?
Yeah, I would.
I've always wanted to see a game.
I wouldn't be overly intimidated by the odds of pulling off an upset in College Station, or
Happy Valley.
Happy Valley. Jesus Christ.
Texas A&M.
App State went up to Happy Valley probably, it must have been 4 years ago now. And
that was
that game went into overtime and they almost won
game.
It.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know what I'm going to say about that. It's a Big Ten school. I love Big Ten football. I think it's great exposure. I'd be all for that. And it's a team that we haven't, I think, to now this is off the top of my head, I think we've only played Penn State once in our history.
That we played them in, God, Bubba's not on here. It was in the 80s off the top of my head, the last time we played them. Maybe 90s, but I don't remember in the 90s. I think it was the 80s.
I want to say it was like,
I don't know if it was
83, 84, somewhere around.
Oh, that's there. Right. Yeah, maybe the early. And Robert's asking again, what about Rocky Top again? Well, John Gilbert is coming from Tennessee. He has huge connections there.
Would be one that I'd be okay with. I think they're better now than they have been in a long time, unfortunately. But that would be one that I think would be a decent bye game and one you'd have a chance to at least perform well in.
What about Vanderbilt? I love Nashville.
You ain't going to do a bye game with Vandy. Now, if they want to do a 2-for-1 with us, I would do that. But I'm not going to do a bye game with Vandy, no.
I'm just asking in general, playing them, not necessarily.
Yeah, yeah. If they do a home and home, or I would even consider a 2-for-1 with them. Yeah, absolutely.
Like the Mississippi schools, both of them.
I think the SEC, the brand is so big, even though Vanderbilt is the shits in football, and somebody's right now is gasping at the idea of doing a 2-for-1 with them. The fact is the SEC doesn't have to do home and homes with group of five schools, you know, or even most power five schools anymore. So if Vandy, just because of that SEC brand name, if you beat Vandy in football, you got to win over an SEC opponent. So, yeah, I would do a two-for-one with them.
Yeah, and the fact is we just don't have any leverage anymore. In this environment of college football, we don't have the leverage. So sometimes you have to take what you can get. Even though it's probably not the most appealing thing sometimes, I wouldn't turn my nose up at playing Vandy.
Not like I said, not even a two-for-one, yeah.
And Brandon's asking, what about a home-and-home with James Madison or Georgia Southern?
Yeah, I pondered that JMU thing. They have a really good fan base. I don't know. I don't know how much our fans would care about home-and-home with James Madison. I think the James Madison fans would love it, and I think they would travel well here. So we'd sell a lot of tickets to that game.
It's beautiful up there, though.
Yeah. Harrisonburg. Yeah. And I just don't think, you know, it is a good trip for our fans in terms of that. It's Virginia Mountains, and it's a relatively close trip. I just don't know how much our fans would be interested in it. So I'm going to say maybe on James Madison, maybe not. Georgia Southern, I respect their program.
In Statesboro.
I like it. I personally would like a home and home with Georgia Southern. I think it would be fun. I don't know how many of our other fans would feel that way. That's another one that I would like to see a poll on. Would you like to see a home and home with Georgia Southern? That would be with like the UConn thing. I think where the UConn series is really appealing to Matt, not to me. The Georgia Southern series is really appealing to me, but I don't know how many East Carolina fans would give a crap about playing Georgia Southern.
And our good friend JR, thank you, Johnny Robertson. He said Penn State beat the Pirates 17-10 in 1985. Our good friend Kevin Walker, KK, that sponsors the playback. I appreciate him, L&K Custom Homes. He was on that team. He graduated in 85 and then 42-17 in 1986. So there you go. In fact, that's my time, guys. When I became a Pirate in 86, the slogan was, we're going after the best. That's why I have a really hard time with FCS and opponents that really don't help us. That's my, you know.
Here's the thing about it, Dave. The group of five school, if you will, that's going to make the playoff is going to be the one who wins their conference and has the closest record to going undefeated. So if everybody else is playing one FCS and we're not, then we're giving ourselves one more harder game than everybody else that's not going to help us. If you beat Georgia Southern, for example, it's not going to look any more impressive to the average person than if you beat Gardner Webb. I hate to say that, but it's the truth. That's why I would say I don't mind one FCS, particularly in the playoff era. Now, if schools quit doing it, we would have to too, because then we'd be at a disadvantage. But as long as the other so-called group of five schools are doing it, then I think you're putting yourself at a disadvantage if you don't do it. Because as long as you got a coach that's capable of winning those games, now if you go get upset in a couple of them, we lost to A&T.
And James Madison.
Yeah.
You call that 17.
Yeah. Yeah.
By our current head coach.
Yeah. Yeah. I did call, you know what? I forgot I called that upset before the game. I called
it after the Temple game.
Yes, you're right. I called it after the Temple game at the end of the 2016 season. I said, guys, I guarantee you Mike Houston and James Madison is going to come in here and beat us next year to start the season. You're right. I sure did. Thanks, Dave. I don't often toot my own horn, but when you do it, toot, toot. But anyway, we got off on a tangent there. But I don't know what we were talking about prior to that. So I'll default back to one of you guys.
I want to give Johnny Robertson some props for a second. Johnny always chimes in with like these – he always has these – does Johnny know these stats off the top of his head?
Him and Bubba, like, are
– I mean, amazing, I'm impressed. Yes.
I shouldn't have said idiot savants. They're just savants.
Well, the funny thing about Bubba knows more about the football games that I actually played in than I do. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, he's like a walking encyclopedia. So
yeah, I could probably tell you the scores closer. I wonder. We should do like the scores from the 97 season to see who gets it close, me or Matt.
Oh my God, I definitely.
You'd probably win. You'd probably win. Trying to forget that season in particular. So that's
no question. Hey guys, I do have a question for you guys. I'm gonna throw out to both of you because we're in the month of July now. Do you guys predict in the next couple weeks, maybe a month, do you guys, something we talk about, I was told, you know, you hear about the talking heads, there are going to be some potential realignment in July. And here we are, July the 10th. We're doing the show live, almost July 11th, later start than we normally have. But do you guys predict any kind of movement, Pac-12, Big 12 kind of expansion and loss of teams? Or what do you think, or is it going to be status quo?
I think if it's going to happen this year, it's going to happen in the next 4 weeks.
Right.
So my guess is yes, that there will be some movement involving the Big Ten and Pac-12. And then that would maybe send a chain reaction to the Big 12 and Pac-12. But I think you probably see movement involving a lot of people think it's going to be, you know, Pac-12 to Big 12. I think it's going to be the Pac-12 to Big 10 first. I think it's going to be Oregon, Washington. What's going on with San Diego State?
That's what I was setting.
Have they resolved things with the Mountain West?
Here's what's crazy about this whole thing.
And I'm gonna have to jump off here soon, guys.
Okay. What happened was I think that San Diego State loves the idea of, you know, going to the Pac-12, right? The problem is the Pac-12 is not ready to invite them. And so they like were very premature to say, we're leaving the conference. And so all of a sudden now.
Yeah, I don't know why the Pac-12 would be premature to invite them.
Or maybe there's a misunderstanding.
Unless the conference just isn't going to survive, it's going to dissolve. Because who else are they going to invite? They're losing two of their biggest media markets. They need to replace it with something. Who else are they going to invite? I mean, I would think the two most appealing schools right now to the Pac-12, I would think, would be San Diego State and SMU. Who else are they going to get? That's if they don't get completely gutted. Yeah, so I don't know. San Diego, the Mountain West of San Diego, told San Diego State that you're out. You pack your shit and leave. You said you were leaving. And so it'll be interesting to see if they actually force them to stand by what they said they were leaving, or if they let them stay in the league.
But here's what they're doing, Kyle, now is the fact that they said we're going bye-bye. And so San Diego State, the Mountain West Conference are now saying, the commissioner now, okay, well, you said you're going, so they want the exit fee.
Yeah.
I forgot the dollar amount. And you could stay in the league, but we want the exit fee, which makes, I mean, I don't know how that works out. Hmm. If I'm Mike Oresco, man, I know they were, what was it, 2013, when Boise and San Diego State were coming to the Big East and American, like during that
transition. Yeah, you got to have one more to go with them at least. So, yeah. And that's why I don't know if you'd get anybody that would want to jump to the American right now. But I wouldn't take San Diego State if I thought they were going to go through the Pac-12, if I wasn't sure, if I thought there was a 50-50 chance that the Pac-12 was going to implode, then I would probably invite San Diego State either way, and see if they wanted to come to the American, being their woes with the Mountain West. Because then if it implodes and you already got San Diego State in hand, then you got leverage over the Mountain West for the remaining Pac-12 schools.
Yep.
So,
as a matter of fact, I think with 14 teams, guys, I know this is going back to one of your ideas with you and Terry Holland, Kyle, is I think there needs to be a merger between the American and Mountain West. I really do, to stay viable and relevant. That's my gut feeling. I think that if you have like a 24 team super conference, that's where we're going. Let me make it very clear. That's not what I want, but what I want and what's happening are two different things. And I think the super conference between those two leagues, making one league out of that, would be the way that we can stay relevant and have a really good shot of maybe a playoff team or two in the current. Well, not the current, but the.
Well, I mean, you have a good shot at it anyway. If you combine those two leagues, and you probably the winner of that league would be the playoff team every year. I mean, you can't convince me the winner of those two leagues together wouldn't be the playoff team over anybody else. So, Sunbelt Mountain West, Sunbelt MAC Conference USA at that point.
What do you think?
I agree. I love that idea, and I've been saying that too, Dave. There's strength in numbers, and you know, there is some appeal for me to try to come up with some sort of a super conference with the Mountain West. I mean, you still have some interesting programs out there. You know,
Boise State, San Jose State. You think about the football. How about the football Air and Force, the basketball?
Air Colorado Force. State. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely some appeal to that. And like I said, there's strength in numbers. I just don't think, you know, you just can't – this is just my opinion. Michael Resco forgot more than I know, I'm sure. But, you know, I don't think you can sit back right now. I think you have to be sort of on the offensive. And I love that idea personally. It would be – I would like that conference a lot more than I like this new American. I promise
yeah.
you that.
Yeah, I think it would be – and another thing too is out of curiosity, I know we're running a little bit over here and we'll get out of here in just a second, but what do you think, guys, as far as a media deal, what do you think between – if you combine the American and Mountain West – for some reason I want to say Conference USA and that's not what I mean. American and Mountain West together – what do you think that is $7 million now for the American? What do you think those two leagues together would bring in?
If you had one super conference like that, you'd have a lot of content. You probably could get a couple partners. My guess, Dave, would be.
I know it's speculation. I know.
My guess would be probably 12 to 14 million. Would be my guess on that's. Now, what I think could be even more appealing is if the Pac-12 does implode and you're left with those three, Cal, Oregon State, Washington State, and you add those three to our 14, and then you take San Diego State, Boise State, Air Force from the Mountain West.
What about your team, Colorado State?
Well, Air Force, I would take Air Force over Colorado State because of Navy.
Right.
So then you have a 20-team super conference with some Pac-12 schools in there. Now, I think that league could get a 15 to 20 million type deal per school.
Because that's what I'm looking at, the dollar. Because Matt is the smartest guy. You're the businessman up here. I really believe, like you said, Matt, in numbers. Not that you're taking – that's what I want to be clear, because some people are out there saying right now, listening or watching, they're saying, Dave, you don't just take – right, you don't just take anyone. We're not saying take anyone. But I believe wholeheartedly is something that's like really like after me, I guess. I don't know what the right word is, but just like as far as – the idea, because I think ESPN is probably going to tell Resco at some point, hey, in order to, you can expand. And another thing, guys, one more point I want to make about my idea is the new thing trend for commissioners is we would have ball games in every time slot, every time zone, every time slot, we would have games going. And I think that's when Kyle was talking about content. That was part of what I was going to say is that you have games starting at noon all the way up to, 10 o'clock at night?
Yeah, I mean, you could literally, if you had somebody in Upstart, you know, and God forbid you sign on an Upstart, but let's just say somebody, let's say Time Warner, the people on TNT and TBS, TNT and TBS wanted to start a sports network, you could literally just have the American, if it was a 2014 team with the Mountain West, sign that one conference, and you could fill your entire Saturday of college football just with that one conference from noon until 11 p.m., you know, whatever, however late you wanted your kick. You could go, you know, you got Hawaii, Dave. So you could go from noon until 12 a.m. Eastern.
That's true, 12 a.m., yeah. I hadn't thought about Hawaii. Yeah, I was just curious about that. That's something that it's it's been nagging at me. It's been bugging me that, like, why don't we do that?
And Fresno, I don't know if you got. Did you guys mention Fresno?
We didn't mention Fresno, but obviously they're in the Mountain West. So if you merge the two leagues, they would be there.
If, you know, Fresno, Kyle. I mean, they're
great football
program. School. Always off the radar, but they consistently produce good, sometimes great NFL players. They produce some fantastic players over the years.
They're the East Carolina or Southern. They're the East Carolina or Southern Miss of the West Coast. They're always good. They always pull off upsets. Yet they could never make the damn New Year's Six Bowl. They're the East Carolina or Southern Miss of the West Coast.
And that would be
that's a good analogy. I mean, I like it, and they do have a fan base too. That's one thing I like about Fresno.
They have a
passionate fan base. So another, you know, that's another program. I just think that there's opportunity out there.
Well, what would be the ideal thing of all this? And we need to go, but if you just formed a super, you cut out all the crap and just formed the best of the rest, and you took an East Carolina and a Memphis and a Boise and a Fresno and a Colorado State and you really formed just a instead of having 24 teams, you just had a 12 or 14 team league of just the best schools that actually gave a damn and could, you know, perform on the field.
Yeah, I think, but I do believe that the
ain't gonna happen. The merger is more likely to happen.
Yeah, I'm a merger guy on it. I really believe that with the dollar amounts and, you know, and it could be, you know, it's funny because the Mountain West commissioner, I remember him making a big deal about it, which that's his job to do. But the bottom line is things change so rapidly that you're laughing one day and you're crying the next.
All right. Well, one quick thing before we go, and then we get the hell out of here. Matt, your thoughts on Pat Fitzgerald?
So here's my thought. Now, I'm just going to first take this in two different ways. Fitzgerald as a coach, just as a football, not including this particular situation, he is an elite coach, absolutely elite, one of the best in the country. What he's done at Northwestern is incredible, honestly, to keep that team relevant in the Big Ten. Absolutely elite coach. Now, this particular situation, right now, all the facts haven't come out. So if these things were going on, and he knew about it, then yes, he deserves it.
When exactly, how bad was the hazing? I mean, I've never heard exactly.
It was based on the story that, now here's the thing, Kyle, we don't know all the facts yet, but based on what some of these players are saying, that there were some things going on in that locker room that were Sandusky-esque, sexual things in nature that were completely inappropriate.
To use the technical terms, sodomizing someone as hazing?
Google running. Apparently, they were up to something called running.
I don't know what that is.
Check it out. I mean, I don't know enough about it to expand on it. But here's the thing: if some of those things were going on and he knew about it, yeah, he deserves to be fired. But anybody can say anything in this day and age.
Right.
And there's always an overreaction just to say, hey, we're just going to go fire somebody. So I just have to wait till all the facts come out. It's a really tough situation. If those things are true, I don't know what the hell's wrong with those players. I mean, what in the hell?
Exactly. Yeah.
If those players were involved in those things, I mean, what in the world is wrong with these players? I just find it hard to believe. I can't imagine being in that situation. I mean, it's unbelievable. Some of the stories that are coming out right now, I think we're just going to have to kind of wait and see.
That's a great point. The rush for judgment, especially in this day and age when you can put something up on the internet and it's true. Right. So you have to be careful, especially when there are legalities involved. And I know for sure, guys, by the way, I know that this guy coached at NC State, very sad to learn that Dick Sheridan, he was actually the coach during the Peach Bowl, passed away at the age of 81. So we're thinking about his family and friends, obviously, during the different, and we may have our rivalries on the field and all that, but great coach for NC State, and sad to learn that, you know, it's like an era and another person that we grew up with passing away.
Yeah, no, sad to hear that. Condolences to his family and to Wolfpack Nation.
One of the things, guys, I know we're running long, but thank you, JR. I was wondering about this. So we were talking about the off-air about the Major League Draft. going on. Johnny says, I wish the best for Josh Groves and Josh Moreland, but I admit that I was not terribly disappointed that neither was drafted in the first 10 rounds of the major league draft. I would love to see both of them return to Greenville for next season. Amen, Johnny. That would be huge for the program. And I know that the great thing about both of those guys, they've got a huge future. So it's not like that this year is now or never. They have a huge career ahead of them. And it used to be that a lot of guys, as you guys know, and people that are listening or watching, the Major League Draft used to be a lot of rounds. They've shortened the number of rounds. And so it's more difficult, obviously, to be drafted, even though you may be a great player. And so this is great. And not for them personally, I know, but it should be great for the Pirates for the 2024 campaign.
Yeah, no doubt.
So anyway, I appreciate you guys very much. And obviously, wish the best to them. And hopefully we'll find out if any Pirates, I guess those were the two biggest ones for the team. We'll see if anyone gets drafted. I don't know how many rounds.
Yeah, they'll get drafted probably. I don't know how many rounds they go. They'll probably get drafted late. When it gets too late, there's no point in signing.
Right. No question. Matt, do you have anything before we go, bro?
Man, I'm just starting to get the itch a little bit for college football season. I mean, it's still a little early. I mean, I don't want to – here's the big thing. You don't want to wish the summer away, you know, because it comes and goes so fast, especially here in the Northeast. But I'm starting to get the itch. One of my goals this week, fellas, is to, I need to go out and buy some of the, you know, the Phil Steele, Athlon.
Yeah, and, just buy Phil Steele. Don't waste your money on any of the rest of them.
It's that type of, you know, it's that time of year where, you know, it's time to study up on the season.
No doubt. And maybe we'll have something in a few weeks when it comes to college football. We're working on that for sure. Guys, thank you so much for all the insight. And we appreciate all the viewers and listeners. It means a lot as the show continues to grow. And I promise we'll work on the phone calls. That was something we thought we had figured out. But I think I may have figured out what the issue is. And we'll take care of that this week as we do another show for sure. All right. So I appreciate Bubba behind the scenes producing tonight. Appreciate Matt, Kyle, all the listeners. We had the roundtable tonight just for you. And we'll see you next time. And as always, go Pirates. And gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul, and I don't back down, not at all. Find out when the cannons explode, from the sidelines down to the post. Put it down like not even close, all out to the last whistle blow. From the flag with the soul and carbone. Everybody stand up, get your hands up, that a team know that we got they back. This is our house, this is our town, our top, everyone not copy that. Everybody gonna see us go bananas, scream loud, baby, don't hold back. Every foot, every yard, every first down, every touchdown with the cannons blast. Get it on, get it all, get the wave going like a hurricane.